one place where Brother Brown clarifies that, but I can't remember. I got it written down somewhere. And you'd have to go over all of his sermons to get it in there. The actual fact of the matter is that theophany can only be Elohim himself, because theopaneer is God manifesting himself. So therefore, when the Son came forth, that was no theophany. The best you could call it the Logos, but my own interpretation would be the Son of God is in spirit or word form, because that's exactly what you're looking at. Because later on, that same one who laid aside that word form body came down and took on himself a human body, and he went back and picked up that word form body, came up in the resurrection. Now, we have a word form body or spirit body waiting for us. We go to it if we die, and if we don't die, we meet it in the air. Why, I don't know, but that's the exact truth. Now, there isn't any reason for Brother Branham calling that light that came out any other than the Son of God, and leaving it just at that. Now, he can call it the Logos on the grounds that Brother Branham used the shortcut that all Bible students use, which I don't like, which is that there a word expressed, a Logos is a thought expressed. A word is a thought expressed. That's Logos. But you see, you could use that about an adding machine. You could use about anything. But the actual meaning that John had, and is in the original Greek, is that whatever is expressed must contain a part or the whole of that which is being expressed. So therefore, if you're going to call Jesus Logos, that's certainly fine, because God Almighty wanted a Son. And the Son came forth in that word form body. And you could say, well, that is a Logos, because that is a Son. And we, in our turn, we are sons of God, because we are a part of God. And it's a matter of the people clarifying in their minds a terminology which is really the most accurate. And I'll have to go through all my stuff upstairs and get Lloyd to copy it down where that's found. But Brother Branham does correct himself concerning theophany, because he talks about we having a theophany. It's not so. He used the word form body or spirit body. And he also said we have, used the word body, eternal in the heavens. Well, now, if that's eternal in the heavens, are we talking about a space of time being eternal in the heavens? Or are we talking about a body being eternal? Well, Brother Branham put it to the body. Therefore, the body itself had no beginning, whatever that was, that we're to go to. And so, if you're going to look at this the right way, there's no other way that you can look at it than accept that you and your word form body actually came out from Elohim as a part of Elohim, the same as identity did with Jesus, that you can call the word, or you can call the Logos, you could actually call Logos, because that's what it is. The word was God when you got the interpolation. And you could throw the interpolation out. You could say in the beginning, God. Now you got back to Genesis 1. Well, you say in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Well, you could say in the beginning was the Word God. And the Word God is actually good, because Elohim starts with El, which is the strong one bound by an oath. So now we have here, actually, God manifesting himself is a theophany. But now break the theophany down. Well, if you break the theophany down, it simply means that God is actually manifesting himself in a form that can be apprehended or seen by people. Right. Now, the next thing is, what in the world are we going to do with it? You could look at God and say, well, how do you do? Nice day today, sir, passing down the street. And he might not have on a crown. He might not have extra beautiful eyes that pierce. He might not have any radiance. He might be just a fellow walking down the street. Well, now, how are you going to get to know anything about him unless he actually talks to you and he reveals to you exactly who and what he is? Now, that would be a perfect example of Logos and theophany, because it is a theophany and it is a Logos. Absolutely. But you don't get anything really from the theophany except you go back to what is theophany of? the one strong one bound by oath, the omniscient, all-powerful one who is bound by his own godhood. Now, you know that. That's fine. And what can you do if he's in a pillar of fire? Well, he could talk out of the pillar of fire, or he could write something on a board, or he could do something. But if you put him in a human form, now he can talk to you. He's got fellowship, he talks back and forth, and now you can get a real revelation of God. And until that time, there is no way that you can actually put him as Logos. All you would see is a theophany. That's all you can see, because that's what he was. But John does not want to use that term. John wants to use a term whereby, and all of our group are missing it, they don't seem to realize that the Gospel of John and the first epistle of John are hand in hand. And John did something that nobody else did. He put God in a human frame, period. And he wasn't worried about the Son. So when it came to putting God in a human frame, in John 1:14 it says, we beheld his glory. Whose glory? God's glory. But then it says, we have his glory even as the glory of the only begotten the Father. So it's telling you, you were looking at God's glory, but you didn't know it was God's glory. You pinned it all on Jesus. See, they've been, and they've gone haywire ever since, because they will not put that in there where it says that this is God's glory is being manifested. But it being manifested through the Son. But watch what the Son says. He said, look, he said, I'm not doing the works. He said, I'm not saying the words. He said, I just, whatever he tells me, I tell him his words, and I'm using my mouth, and I'm standing here, and when I say something, it happens. He said, that's God doing it. He said, don't you see then that the Father is in me? And I said, if you can't believe the Father, believe the works. Now right away, and they believe the works, he's got them over a barrel. Because a man can't do it, only God can do it. Now they're going to get back to God. Now what are you going to do? Is it God doing the work? Then God's in me. You're seeing God in human form. I am the Son of God. Now that body that Jesus had was, even as far as I can see, in one respect, because Scripture has many different applications. One application, the whole body is not prepared to be. Brother Branham uses that as the bride. But the other is not in my books. Where the body has not prepared me, he said, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. That is the body that was prepared for Jesus. Now, if you can understand that, if you realize that God created sperm and an egg, it's an actual creation, but there's no life in it. So Brother Branham uses the poetic form, he wrapped himself in it. All it means is plain English, like he breathed into Adam's nostrils, the breath of life, which is the Holy Ghost. God put his own blood cell, his own life, put his own life in that which he had created. Now, from that will be that body that Jesus has. So you can see now, this leads you to the fact that when Brother Branham said, Israel actually crucified the very God they worshipped. Well, you see, just a minute. Say now, I can't quite see that, because when I talk about Mr. Jones is dead, we're talking about his body. That Mr. Jones is not in the casket. Mr. Jones is someplace else. But that isn't true. For the very reason, the minute you talk of Mr. Jones, you cannot identify him other than his body. You can't do it. Neither could you identify Jesus, and neither could you identify God. And that was God's body that Jesus used. And yet, he was the one that remained in and hanging upon the cross. But it was the blood of God that was shed. And being the body that died, being God's body, it was God that died. Yet God can't die, we know that. You can see the perplexity of theology, which is so perfect, it's very simple. If you just let your thinking go. And that's what we see and we teach here. And I realize that I got sick before that's almost 2 years now, that I haven't been in the pulpit. But I would dearly love to go through the book of John and the first epistle, and compare with the others, and they will see that we are talking about God, never mind the Son. God doesn't mean put him on the shelf and ignore him. But remember, he is not the main actor. But he takes the limelight. See, to put it crudely, it's almost like, Charlie McCarthy. You know, a man with a puppet. Yet Jesus was not a puppet. And yet, on the other hand, he certainly was, because he... his life was of God. Brother Branham was asked, what's the difference between God and Jesus? No difference, except that Jesus had a beginning. And so you can see the perfection of the two and the one there, but the main thrust is always God himself has come down a man amongst men, whereby he's reconciling the people to himself, forgiving their sins and showing what kind of a God he is. And that's the major thrust of John. That's why people love the book of John, but they don't know why they love it. It's because they're so mixed up on Godhead. And you see, Jesus is not a part of Godhead. He's below Godhead. Woman, man, Christ, God. God, Christ, man, woman. You can't change it. Also, you got bride, Christ, God. So they get mixed up in the Gospel of John, not realizing that this is the Logos. God has become, he has formed himself in flesh, and he's in that flesh, because he came down there in the River Jordan. Yet at the same time, it's the body of Jesus. And it is. But we have to remember, when he wrapped himself in that sperm and that egg, absolutely, that's the DNA of God from the day one. Everything that has life is spirit. And it's got to have the right chemicals, which aren't very many, maybe 50, 60 chemicals, and you grow everything you want in this earth. Man can be born, animals born, plants raised, birds raised, butterflies, everything. But that life takes upon itself a form by using those chemicals. But the DNA is actually in the spirit. And that's the DNA that manifests in the blood, actually had a spirit background passed on from the Father to Christ down to Adam and down. And that's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at anything that would be a projection of God. They're two separate peoples, absolutely entirely. God is the boss and ruler of the heavenly universe. It's his body. He allowed Jesus to have it and to take the preeminence. And that's exactly what he did. The preeminence of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. And notice how that God set the whole stage for him. That's like at the wedding supper, and then at the New Jerusalem, then there's a separation. Then all things are under the feet of Jesus, now are under the feet of God. God becomes all of them all. So if you started with God here and nothing, and you went over here with God on the throne, the pillar of fire above the throne, and took an eraser, what's it all off? You're back where you were. God is all in and all. Because you see the personality of God, the complexity of God, the power of God, everything you see of God, all in your Bible and worked out, and it's worked out through Jesus Christ. And that's why you have a book which is a revelation of Jesus Christ, which you've got to dig deeper. Because, brother, it's a revelation of Almighty God. And Brother Branham said the name of God is Lord Jesus Christ more than one occasion. So I don't know what the man really thought he was getting out of what I said. He maybe was hearing it a little bit wrong, but this is what I believe. Two separate persons distinctly, two separate persons in a body which was actually provided by God, so the sperm and the egg, the woman supplying the chemicals, that's all that she did, and then God, that body had to be circumcised because it was going to be used as a mediator and high priest. And the scripture says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Doesn't say the God Christ Jesus, he's not. And then Timothy says God was manifest in the flesh. Absolutely he was. It was God manifesting himself. Yeah. And so John 1 and 1 is 100% right, and John 1 and 14 tells you exactly how it works. And then you read from there on down the line. But taking the word theophany, that belongs to God and to God alone. Now you can, if you want to, spread it. I don't like doing it. But you can spread it by the fact that we are a part of God. So therefore everything that is a part of God is a theophany in a sense. But God didn't want it that way. God wanted man to have a body distinct based on his own body. Because when he took that sperm and egg and blueprinted it, it came forth as a baby boy. Arms and legs and eyes of a fine, healthy boy, circumcised the eighth day, growing up, going into the temple, coming suddenly to the temple, having the ability, correcting his mother, making the wine, and everything. And he warned his mother. He said, look, he said, this is before my time. He In other words, God had, was not giving him the go-ahead, but he had to go ahead on this one here because they needed the wine. And so you can see that that there is a duality there, and when God comes forth as a theophany, you're saying this is God manifesting himself, but when you come forth as a logos, you are God not just manifesting himself, he is putting himself in a position to be absolutely expressed, because this is his expression. And then you notice it says the only begotten had declared him. That means to bring forth by words. Now, if you, you know as well as I do, whenever you see anything done by a God in a prophet's life, and it now comes to the people, every single thing must be explained by the prophet. Why, what it is, why it is, and what you're going to expect. And Brother Branham did the same thing every single time. You have to take everything that he said, and in there, he will tell you what it is, and he'll tell you why it is, and he'll tell you relationship to you, and also he can tell you what you can enter into. But always, no matter what is done, God has to do it, and then he has to have the man there to explain and teach the people the real truth of what is going on. And if you take the book of John, John 1 and 1, 1 and 14, 1 18, you get the perfect picture all the way through. Go all the way through the book, and you'll find it all the way through. Take every one of Brother Branham's quotes, and you can find where God, who cannot die, did die. Because you cannot disassociate yourself from your body. There is no way you can do it, because God has left no room anywhere for an unmanifested creature, as far as I know. My Bible, I know of no place that the prophet ever intimated or God ever said in any nation where there is not a true manifestation, though we might not be able to apprehend it because we're not in that sphere. But the actual fact of the matter is, if we right now were in a sphere where Satan is or the angels, I have no doubt that we'd be able to see them. Of course, you'd have to maybe use vision, but they're there. They are there. But every man his orders. But that's it. That's what I have in mind when I talk about the Father and the Son. And you can't mix them. And you can't at any time ever divorce the one from the other. There's no way. You cannot come to God except by Jesus Christ. Your prayers are answered to Jesus Christ. Because he said, I am the way. He said, I am the door. And everything that Jesus did was necessary, because God had to communicate in the way that suited and worked with his own Godhood, with his own children. And that's just what you're looking at. And I just don't understand how people can't understand the Father and his family. I studied years ago a book by Dr. Charles S. Price, and I said, oh, that doesn't ring a bell. Then I got Kenyon's, and Kenyon was a brilliant, brilliant teacher. I think perhaps the greatest in the 20th century, just as teachers go. You know, he didn't have the revelation all the way down the line, but he sure was good on what he was into. And he wrote The Father and Family. I said, well, he's good, but he hasn't got it. But when Brother Branham came on the scene, and he discussed the Father and his family, and he showed seed, and seed is reality, then, if, man, the Father and his family, you can see it right there. As an Adam, it all died in identical manner, all were made alive in Christ. He said, you are in Christ Jesus, and now you're born again. You will lose none. So you can, it's really a simplistic understanding when you let your mind go and you refuse to believe that Brother Branham is being poetic. See, now, Brother Branham was a poet. There's no two ways about it. He had tremendous ability in speech, although he made a disclaimer on it. There's, you read it, and the more you read, the more you find the man was absolutely brilliant in what he was saying. And so when Brother Branham used that term, you wrapped, God became so small that he wrapped himself in a sparkling egg. They were, the mind instantly goes to the fact of the minuteness and leaves the fact that what was he doing wrapping himself in a sparkling egg? And if he did do that, what happened? And where did he go from there? Well, that's the truth. Then what is that boy anyway? He was the exact expression. That's why the Bible said that you cannot have an image. God had his own image. His image was Christ. He didn't want any other image. His idiots out there making images, and here was the image of God walking amongst them. And that was the image of God, period. When we see God actually as a human race, we're going to see him incarnate in the Son. But there will come a time when the pillar of fire will be above the throne of the Lamb on the throne. And we'll understand it. It'll be fine. And who knows when he'll incarnate himself again if he wants to. But the fall in his family gives you your perfect picture from Genesis all the way to Revelation, especially when you understand what Arrhenius said, God being a Savior and a healer and a this and a that. It was necessary and predestinated a man who would require salvation. He gave himself reason and purpose of being. So now you can see the reason and purpose of God from Genesis all the way to Revelation, a seed chapter to the harvest chapter, and you can see what God is doing all the way through, and it's in perfect harmony with God in his Godhood, so that no man can say, and they will say, well, why did God make Satan? Well, why wouldn't he make Satan? See, that's the question. God operating within his Godhood can't go beyond it, and he does, and if he goes less, that's just for the time being, but it'll come up further as he wants it. But when you see this thing, you see Christ from Genesis to Revelation, because Christ should have been the first fruit of Eve, and she got ahead, the devil messed the whole thing up, but that was fine, because now God can be a Savior rather than just a Father. And coming down the line, you see the whole thing in fruition. It's, the Bible is not a history book, but it is a history of God and his people. It's not a scientific textbook, but when it does speak on scientific things, it is absolutely correct. And right down the line, we see God unfolding. And then at the end time, we see the tragic thing of the crucified God and the crucified Word. They crucified it themselves, the Son of Man afresh. They crucified the Word. And then the Word has to go down in flames. But it's, that's how I look at this whole picture. And I suppose that Brother Branham would have done well if he'd have preached a sermon of the Father and his family in a series. And he would have done it. But we've got it anyway. It's there. But his words were beautiful words, and they were very authentic. Until I realized that God had blueprinted that as sperm and egg. And I realized that what came forth, that was God in flesh. And that was God, not only theophany, that was logos. You go beyond it. Like the scholars bring up the fact that it used to be called the member, now it's called the menorah. It's the nine candlestick. And that was what they put there all the time, and that was what they looked at as their tie post and their, what you might call, I guess, their gateway into God. But we don't have that. We have Jesus Christ the righteous. So we are far, far better off. But the menorah does show that God is 333. And I was amazed when I found out that Brother Branham, like everybody else, had let go of Redeemer and Sanctifier. And how in the world can Brother Branham preach a sanctification without the other being a sanctifier? Then you're back to human possibilities. That's no good. And Redeemer, that's what he's all about. And yet they were the two that were left out. So now you've got, when I discovered that, it wasn't my own discovery. During my reading, I found it. So you have your 3-3 gods and 3-3-3 makes it perfect. But Christ is, we don't have a menorah now, we have a logos. We have God himself who came down in human flesh, who actually dwelt among us, reconciled to himself, and then when they rejected him thoroughly, then he gave his body. That was his body, your body's not prepared to be. That own body, God owned it, Jesus owned it, it's a duality. And that's how God died upon Calvary. Yet we know God can't die. But when that body dies, you're identified. I don't care what anybody says. If you and I die, they carry us, brother, we're gone. Yeah. Notice there's a resurrection, we're still gone. That was the vicarious death. That's where the hope gets in the vicar of Christ.
Yeah.
Well, my thoughts are this. I think I made it pretty plain, although people still misunderstand me, that I don't say that everything that God did, he had to do through the Son. But if he did everything through the Son, it would be fine by me. I just don't have a final answer. Whatever God doing. Because the Son could only do from what God gave him. See, God gave the devil all kinds of power, and look what he's done with it. He's gone doing it, and I just mentioned that because, you see, like there's one place in Jude, I think of Exodus, I guess we're wrong, where he said, I send my messenger, my angel, said, before you, my face, and I put my name in it, and don't you cause him, you know, any problems, because he has power to curse and destroy you, you know. And now that's different now. That would be different from God himself, because he said, I put my name in. God is speaking about someone. So therefore, if the Son is involved in that, and the wrong that followed him, that is fine by me. I am not as fully aware of all those points that Brother Branham brought out that I might be. So I just say, well, he said it, and I agree. Well, they're catching on. We're catching on. We'll eventually get things right. We have enough to get us in the rapture, Brother Branham said. That's a proficient and efficient by me. When he had to pick up his body, he had his word form body, or spirit body, what body term in the heavens, he left it. And to come down here, then when he died, he picked it up and came forth. See, you've got to be careful that word theophany. As I see, you could use it in a very minor sense of that we're part of God. We have a theophany. And God doesn't want it that way. God wants his children in their glorified forms and have passed the test of their doctrine, put them to the test and all, and come up with their rewards and their positions. And that's what he wants and he's looking at. And I think that's the most important thing. Although Brother Branham did go into mysteries which were not known from before the foundation world. And I must admit that some of them are very necessary to get the true essence. For Jesus on the throne is his own man. Whatever he has, he's been given by God. And Paul makes that note. He said, if you've been given something, why do you act as though you have it on your own? Paul makes very sure that the people know that when God gives us things, he expects them. God expects to be able to use them through us. And Brother Branham often said, I heard to get out of the way. The Apostle Paul literally says the same thing. Ephesians there, but Ephesians is written wrong. It's the wrong translation. The right translation is according to the working of his mighty power when he is doing it with him. In other words, God never gave any man a gift and said, I'm turning you loose. That's where Pentecost failed. Yeah. That's where almost everybody told the divine healing. Brother Branham didn't. He put it right back on the people. You believe? He said, I believe. He said, I showed you that I believe. He said, you believe too, you believe. That was a condition of the promise of condition. So Brother Branham was very, very fair. And as much fair as we realize as time goes on. But Jesus is his own man already. He's on the throne, and he's still the mediator because he's going to bring him under 44,000 Jews. His intercessor keeps him in. Because once the bride goes up, the ministry of intercession, of course, should then be over. But then you have to be waiting for the 144,000 Jews. And then when that's over, I guess that'll settle it. That particular part. We'll need it because we'll find we're... We've missed an awful lot by the vagaries of life and the wrong learning. Yet the new learning will be capable of receiving it.